From our family to yours, happy holidays from the Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show, is on, in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour. Mainly, we'll talk NBA basketball. We'll also do a little fantasy hockey with the RotoWire guys. But up first, big night of basketball tonight. The Portland Trail Blazers take on the San Antonio Spurs. And joining me to talk about things from the Spurs side of things, and I'll cover the Trailblazers side, please welcome from PoundingTheRock.com, J.R. Wilco's in the house. J.R., how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing great, sir. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure to have you here. It's always nice to have you here. Big game tonight against Portland, huh?
Man, I'm telling you, they are playing very well, and the Spurs are playing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That's a good way to put that. But the Spurs are always just playing when it comes time to December, January, February. Then they start playing a lot better come playoff time once the rotations get set, which is really strange. When you watch these guys, you've been watching the Spurs and covering the Spurs for years. Does it still just drive you nuts a little bit when you see how he'll switch things around, he being Greg Popovich, and he'll do all these different things? Does that drive you crazy still? A little bit anyway?
But no. I mean, it's it's like being married and, you know, your wife never puts the towel on the towel rack, you know? Everything else she does is so awesome that to look at that one thing and harp on it. I mean, that's just not what guys do. And it's just the way it is. It's like being upset because of, you know, daylight savings time. It's not changing. Guys, it's not changing. They're never going to make daylight savings time all year long. So just give it up. I guess I was talking to the 7 people in the United States that want that to happen. But anyway, there's no use in griping about it. It's just the way that he handles it. And because the team is older and because they perform so well in the playoffs, that it's part of the exact same thing. So you can't appreciate them in the playoffs and then at the same time be upset and angry and annoyed and frustrated at Pop doing what he does during the regular season, because it's all whole cloth.
That makes sense. I was just curious because sometimes, you know, it, from a fantasy sports standpoint, it drives us nuts, man.
I'm sure it does.
It really
but
does.
They're messing with your money. See, they're not messing with my money. They're just, you know, it's a fan thing with me, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I the other night I texted you, if you remember, I sent you a text. Tony playing tonight? Now, what about the injuries? What about Kawhi Leonard? What's his status, you think? Now, we're recording this on Sunday afternoon because it's the only time JR and I can do this. What is his status, you think?
Kawhi's official status for Monday night is he has a bruised right hand and he is questionable. The only player that's out for Monday is Patty Mills, for sure, is Patty Mills, who we've known all season long that he's unable to play and probably won't play until at the very, very earliest, the end of January, beginning of February. And that's the earliest. So there have essentially been at least 2 people on the Spurs injury report all season long. It's been Tiago Splitter and Patty Mills. Tiago's played 10 minutes. There were 10 minutes. And even before that game, he was on the injury report because I think it was questionable that game he came in. We've had more guys on there and there've been, but pretty much it's been 2. So the fact that Tiago's back and apparently he played well and his calf held up the last 2 games and there was no recurrence. So I'm glad they took as much time with him as they did. So we still have Patty and now it's Kawhi. So hopefully eventually we'll get stuck off of this 2 number and just be down to Patty and then, you know, get him back. But even if that happens, we're still talking about several months left of the season. And we're just now getting toward the part of the season last year when all of the Spurs started getting hurt. And there was just that really rough stretch. And it's not that they lost more games to injury than any other team in the NBA. Actually, it was pretty average. The problem was that all of their injuries came in the exact same 6 to 8 weeks. So everybody was out. But they still wound up with you know, the best record in the league. So what can you say?
Well, that's true. I was thinking about that just now. Boy, they had a lot of injuries at one time, and it started just after the first of the year, and it was really nasty. But as far as the Portland Trailblazers are concerned, they're pretty healthy. They've been playing a lot better, and their fan base is pretty jacked up about this, especially after the way San Antonio manhandled them in the NBA semifinals last year in the Western Conference. So they're fired up about this.
Why wouldn't they be? The first time you meet the team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year, that's your first playoff game of the year, because you've had all offseason long to sit there and stew and just that, and you know, the thing is that they're 4-5 right now. If the jump into that fun phrase that we hear all season long, if the playoffs ended today, then Portland would be hosting San Antonio in the first round. Portland's 18-6 and San Antonio's 16-7. So they are just separated by a game and a half. And I mean, the way that Portland has been playing, the way that that team is, wasn't able to really add much of anyone over in the offseason, didn't have a draft pick, no pick in the draft at all. And to be able to just kind of pull themselves up from their bootstraps after that second round, like you said, it was manhandling. It was a 5-game series, could easily have been a sweep. And they've really been playing well. Lillard and Aldridge and Batum, those guys are learning how to be consistent and win and expect to win every time they hit the floor. And this isn't like the huge streak that they went on at the beginning of last year, that they just, you know, played Icarus and just soared too close to the sun and came crashing down in the second half of the season. This looks more like it's sustainable.
Oh, I agree with you there too. Now you've got a couple other little scrapes in your camp. Tony Parker, he played 18 minutes against the Lakers. What's his status? Is this the way it's going to be for a few more games? Do you see him playing more than 18 minutes?
Well, they always ease guys back after, and especially from a hamstring. You know, those can just stretch on forever. And so he had the mild strain that held him out of a couple of games. And then he came back and played a little bit more against Lake Show. So I would not be surprised to see him start. I wouldn't be shocked to see him come off the bench again and, you know, maybe do 20 or 22. Don't want to mess with the hamstring, because he's had issues with the hammies before, you know. In the first finals against the Heat, it was the hamstring that really limited him through the second half of that series, and he wasn't really able to be effective. He was an entirely different player in the first half of that series than he was in the second. So don't want to be messing with that. And it's no one game is as important as getting a guy back from an injury, because you re-injure it, and then you know you're going to hold him out longer this time than you did last time, and it can just stretch on and on.
You're absolutely right. You want to be careful, especially when you hit the age of 30. Oh, it's not easy. And he's played a lot of games. That kid has played a lot of games in his career.
Hasn't he? Started at 19.
Or even in the NBA, right?
In the NBA, yeah. Started with the Spurs at 19. Well, he's been playing professionally since he was 14, which is just ridiculous.
And he played for Racing Lyon for, I think, a year or two. And he played for National Team of France for, he's played a lot of games.
He's played a ton of games.
Yeah, I would say so. More than any college kid, that's for sure. But or a kid coming out of college, except for maybe Duncan. Duncan had a long run. But, you know, one of the things that's a little different this time around, and I don't know how much of a difference it's going to be, but Portland's bench is a lot stronger than it was last year. Yeah. Chris Kamen's had a great year so far. He's kind of struggling now. Maybe he's coming back down to earth. And Steve Blake is coming off the bench and doing a nice job for them too. So this is a good one. But one thing I saw earlier today, I was preparing for the show a little bit. 8.4 steals per game in the last 5 games for the Spurs bench.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Does that matter? Is that kind of a skewed number because of the way Coach Popovich does his rotations?
Well, part of the bench numbers are skewed because they started all, essentially almost all bench players just 2-3 games ago because they held out the big four, right? Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, and Kawhi were all sat. So who's going to play? But bench guys and everything was weird against the Knicks because they didn't have Melo or J.R. Smith either. And so that game is just weird. But whenever you look at stats like that and say, hey, they're doing this year or this in this five stretch of games, the thing about it is, you know, the Spurs couldn't win against the elite teams last year. So the big knock on them was that they couldn't win the big games. But all they've done in the entire time of Duncan's tenure is win big games. They just weren't winning those regular season games. Just wait till they're actually big. And this year, they're winning plenty of big games, but they're losing, you know, dropping games to just, you know, the dregs of the league, Utah and the Lakers. And so the point when you look at real stats from just five games like that is just so weird. Last year they were trailing the league in steals per game, and this year they're doing great. So it's just one of those weird things.
It sure is. Anyway, great stuff today. Good luck tonight, and we'll catch you next week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That was J.R. Wilco. You can find him at poundingtherock.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's got to sure. be a big, strong big, thing. Strong.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, we're Rob Fulkett, and you're listening to Phil Nason Show.
Father John, I'm in love with your daughter. What a one with the champagne eyes. She knows that I love her, even when she tells me lies. she tells me lies. Oh yeah, that's what you do.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The Atlanta Hawks finally lost the game. I was kind of shocked. It doesn't matter, though. Don't talk smack about the Hawks. They're playing hard and doing well. And joining me to talk all about them, please welcome from PeachTreeHoops.com, Chris Willis is in the house. Chris, what's up? How are you?
How you doing, Phil?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How are you? How is the How are the Hawks?
Oh, man, you know, I mean, all good things must come to an end, but I'll take a 9-game winning streak anytime.
Who wouldn't? You know, I saw people talking smack about the Hawks losing to Orlando by a point. Now, what kind of nonsense is that?
Well, you know, I mean, I've read a lot about people dismissing the streak just because of the quality of opponents. And, I mean, Hawks' schedule hadn't been the strongest. But I'm going to tell you, you know, you're supposed to win those games, and they did a good job of it. You got to credit Orlando, second night of a back-to-back against the same opponent. You know, that's always a tough situation.
It sure is. So let's take a look at this streak, and let's decide how weak the opponents were. You knocked off New Orleans, first of all, to start the streak back in November. Then Charlotte. Okay, Charlotte hasn't been playing that well. Boston, scrappy. They knocked off Boston. Miami's always tough. And they knocked off the Heat. Then the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, Brooklyn. Denver's a good basketball team. Indiana's tough defense. Killed them. Philly's not so good. Orlando is up and down, and they lost to Orlando. I would say out of those 9 wins, 2 of them were against teams that were a little bit shaky.
Yeah, there was a road win there with the Wizards also, I believe. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you play who's in front of you. Things are going to get more difficult starting next week. But, you know, still, the conversation would be plenty different if the Atlanta had went 5-4 through that stretch. We'd be sitting here worried, you know. So, you know, credit them for taking care of business and winning the games they're supposed to win.
And that's what good teams do. Win the games you're supposed to, go 500 against the teams you're not supposed to beat, and you'll be sitting pretty in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a good start. Even if they have a tough time next week and coming weeks, you know, they've built themselves a little bit of a cushion, you know. So, I mean, you can't take the wins back. You know, it doesn't matter who they come against at the end of the year. You know, it's an even playing field from that standpoint.
It sure is. Now, you brought up the elephant in the room. The schedule gets tougher. These are the games that you have. You want to go through them with me?
Sure.
Okay, Chicago's on Monday tonight. Cleveland Wednesday at Cleveland. At Houston on Saturday. And then Monday against Dallas at Dallas. And then Tuesday, the Clippers. But we'll talk about all that next week. But that's a tough little 3-game stretch there that the Hawks have found themselves in. Chicago, Cleveland, and Houston. Boy, oh boy, where do we start?
Well, you got to start with the Bulls. I mean, that's the next team up. So, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the Bulls. You know, their defense really – the scary thing about them is their offense looks good and their defense really hasn't sunk its teeth into the way we know they're capable of playing. So, you know, that's going to be a great matchup. I always like the – good defensive teams like that. I always like to see where the Hawks' offense, what kind of success they can have.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I like watching those good defensive teams play. In Chicago, they play bruising defense. The thing is, Joakim Noah may not be playing on Monday night. He's still banged up, and they're going to wait and see if he's healthy. Is that going to make much of a difference? Because Al Horford, he hasn't been doing that well against these guys like the Noahs. Well, most people don't, actually. But what do you see happening with this bunch? Who's the go-to guy for Atlanta?
Oh, well, I mean, if Noah can't play, yeah, we should send him a thank you card, a Christmas card, early Christmas card. You know, he's caused Al all kinds of problems in the past. You know, he's one of the few guys that's it's such a good defender that he can close out on Al at the perimeter and still give him trouble inside. I mean, Chicago is just as a whole. I mean, they've got a great defensive concept and play well. I mean, But I mean, if you want to flash back to the Orlando games, I mean, I think the key is still Kyle Korver. You know, he had a hard time getting his shot off in those two games against Orlando. The Hawks were fortunate to win one of them. You know, getting him some looks, getting him off to a good early start, that'll open things up for everybody else.
Well, I think it's going to be tough for him on Monday night, but it'll get better for him at least on Wednesday and Saturday. Cleveland and Houston, their defensive backcourt or their backcourt's defensive woes continue and continue and continue. Guys kill them. I mean, they can't stop the three. So those are a beautiful look. But Millsap is going to have to get it done tonight. That's who's going to have to take charge, take the proverbial bull by the horn, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the front court, the play of the front court is going to be huge. Got a rebound. You know, I'm sitting here looking at Paul Gasol's numbers, and I mean, they jump off the computer screen at you. You know, the Hawks, obviously that length is going to be trouble. They've got Taj Gibson coming off the bench, which is ridiculous. I really like that guy. So, I mean, it's going to be a great challenge. I mean, but this is one of those measuring stick games. Atlanta's off to a great start. This is how you quiet the doubters, though. You know, you step up at home and you knock off a Chicago team, and now, you know, that just gives the people that think you aren't very good, it gives them an example to go by.
Not if Noah doesn't play, because the doubters will still creep in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But still, that's I'll take a win over the Bulls any day.
Basketball people know the difference. And if they beat the Bulls, they've beaten a good basketball team. Wednesday night, Cleveland. LeBron James has got a sore knee. Deion Waiters is questionable. Kyrie Irving's banged up. Last time they played Cleveland, it wasn't pretty. What do you see happening here? What do they have to do differently?
Well, for one thing, they've got to do a better job defensively, especially on the perimeter. I mean, Cleveland shot lights out in that first game, and all of that can't be attributed to bad defense. I mean, you've got to credit them. I think they hit, 11 straight three-pointers to open the game. I mean, it was something ridiculous number like that. But, you know, the Hawks got to establish themselves early. And you can't let an offensive team like Cleveland just get rolling like that, because they'll put a big number up on you if they do.
You ain't kidding there. I watch them play all the time. I live in the area. You know what, though? What they have to do is get physical with Cleveland. That's how you beat Cleveland, get physical with guys like Kevin Love and LeBron, and there's no one there to stop them, really. I mean, no one's going to prevent that physicality, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not, you know, and when you think of Atlanta, you don't think of a very physical team. You know, they're probably on the other side of the ledger. They're more about execution and, you know, precision on offense. But, you know, still, I mean, you're right. They've got to get physical with that front court. They've got to establish themselves early. And, I mean, that game up in Cleveland, they didn't establish anything. Cleveland came out, did what they wanted to do. And the next thing you know, the Hawks are down 20 before they could blink. And there's no coming back against an offensive team like the Cavs when you give them that good of a start.
You ain't kidding there. They're deadly. When they get hot and on a roll, it's like Marky Mark and the Fun Bunch. They don't stop, man. They really don't. Now, Saturday night, Houston, in Houston, the beard and the weird. This is one you have to beat. This is the one I want to see Atlanta win, is against the Beard and the Weird. I never want to see Houston win.
I tell you, Phil, I meant to look this up before I come on today, but I can't remember the last time the Hawks won in the state of Texas. I mean, it has been a very long time, and I've got to look it up. I mean, I'm gonna write about that later this week. But I mean, they have just had the worst luck in the state of Texas, and to sit there and see Houston and Dallas back to back on the schedule, it's kind of scary. So, you know, I mean, hats off to that Rockets team, though. I mean, they were my big loser of the summer coming out of the offseason. I felt like they failed in every aspect. They lost Chandler Parsons. They chased the big-name free agents. They didn't get anybody. Who would have thought that they would be off to the start that they're off to and doing it defensively? I mean, they're one of the best defensive teams in the league. And that's been amazing, especially given the time that Dwight Howard's missed.
Exactly. You know, one thing that I did look up today is the Atlanta bench. And they're averaging 30 points during this five during the last five games. They're averaging 30 points a game, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. That's not too bad, but I want to see that bench get up to 40 points a game. That's where we want to see that. If we can get them to do that, they should be all right.
Yeah, it's you know, the bench, it's kind of been, they've kind of been a streaky bunch. You know, one week it's Mike Scott scoring a bunch of points. The next week it's Dennis Schroeder. But they've just not been able to, you know, as a unit, play very well. There's been some bright spots here and there. So, you know, it's going to be important, like you said, to get a shot off the bench. Mike Scott came out blazing this season and then kind of hit a little bit of a lull. But he's showing signs here lately of coming back around. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point.
Great stuff today, Chris. Good luck this week, and we'll catch you next weekend for more of these rock and roll rough games. What a stretch they have.
All right, Phil, I appreciate you having me.
All right, that was Chris Willis. You can find him over at PeachtreeHoops.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well.
You know
what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
We're all Forget, and you're listening to Phil Nason's Show!
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. Here we go. It's Cavaliers time, and joining me to do just that from FearTheSword.com, please welcome Justin Rowan to the show. Justin, how you doing? Welcome back.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. The Cavs are kind of exciting at times, and then they're kind of nauseating at times, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, they have their moments. There's going to be ups and downs for the rest of the season, that's for sure, as they try to figure it out. Obviously, it was a bit of a letdown to lose in New Orleans without Anthony Davis, but when you play your fourth game in five nights and you give the Thunder quite a scare shorthanded without LeBron James, it was kind of evident that they used up a lot of their legs in that game, and the only one that looked fresh was LeBron, who hadn't played since Tuesday.
And he's got a bum knee.
Yeah, I mean, he had a sore knee there. No real signs of it in his 41-point outing there against New Orleans. But, yeah, hopefully it's just something minor that'll go away with rest.
Brian Windhorst says it's because he's slowing down.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I found that the headline of that article was a little bit misleading. The actual content of the article is kind of alluding towards it maybe slowing down a little bit physically, not being able to jump as high and things like that. But it did also say that he might be a better player now than he's ever been, more mature. His court sense is getting even better by the day. It's absolutely incredible to see him progress there. I mean, the funny thing is, you look at when Michael Jordan started winning titles, a lot of them came after his physical peak. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing that he's going to start going downhill physically. LeBron's a smart player. He's going to continue to reinvent himself depending on what he's capable of doing physically. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to acknowledge that, hey, he's turning 30. He's not always going to be the same physical specimen, but he's still going to be a hell of a player. And really, that's all the Cavs need. He came to Cleveland for help. I mean, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are going to be there a long time. They're going to help him through his physical decline, however slow or quick it is.
Yeah, you know what? He's the best player in the game, whether he's slowing down or not. Of course he's slowing down a little bit. In the old days, he wouldn't have taken that game off against the Thunder. But he's smart, you know, and he understands. He's a grandmaster of the game. I talk about that often. I refer to him like I do grandmasters in chess. It's the same thing. Everything he does is calculated and well thought out, including the 48 minutes you see him playing every night. He knows what he's doing. When do you ever just sit there and go, oh, LeBron, why'd you do that?
I do it a few times a game. I mean, one of his methods of self-preservation appears to be taking a few plays off defensively, and he kind of turns into the James Harden turnstile, which it's frustrating to watch. He needs to be a little less demonstrative when a call doesn't go his way. It's a little frustrating to see him throw up his arms and not get back on defense or take a play off where he just turns his back. But, I mean, for all the frustrating things that might come along with him, it's just such a treat to watch him play basketball, and he makes everyone else better. So you take the good with the bad.
Well, here's one thing, and I'll say this, and I'll defend my boy here a little bit. I'll tell you this. Gloria, you hear them? They're all hooting on your boy again. Anyhow, I'll tell you this. He's the only person on that basketball team other than Sean Marion who knows how to play defense and who can actually stop someone anytime they want to.
Hey, I mean, you're disrespecting Matthew Dellavedova now.
All right. Now, I like Deli, but Deli had a rough game against the Pelicans, as did several of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, you know, that's the interesting thing. You know, I'm always the one harping on defense, and you got LeBron. You're right, though. He does that. He's always done that, though.
Mm-hmm. But for sure. I mean, it's not a huge deal, but it does kind of weaken his stance when you want to dig into a teammate a little bit on taking a defensive play off or a poor defensive play. It might not be a lack of effort. When you're not consistently performing on that end, it kind of weakens your stance a little bit.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, too. And you're right. You're absolutely right. When you've got these guys, though, they didn't play any defense against Oklahoma City. I mean, that was horrid. And I couldn't believe it. They should have beaten Oklahoma City even without LeBron. But they didn't. But the Pelicans game, Anthony Davis goes out. And what happened? What we saw is that 20th ranked defensive efficiency team out there the last two nights, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, is that what they're up to, 20th now? I know they were at 14th for a while there.
Yeah, like today they're at 20. Today on Saturday, they're at 20.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm sure the New Orleans game didn't help that much. But, yeah, you know what? They let a few guys go off. We almost saw a flashback to rookie season Tyreek Evans. He was absolutely phenomenal. Ryan Anderson's a guy that can kill you. He definitely killed Kevin Love that night. And Drew Holiday. I mean, it's nice to see him healthy and back on the court because he's a hell of a player. And you know what? Even back in Philly, he was someone that could give Kyrie Irving fits on the defensive end of the floor. And while Kyrie's in a little bit of a slump right now, kind of broke through in the fourth quarter, hopefully that continues. Holiday, he's no slouch. I mean, he was an all-star for a reason. And you know what? That trade with Philly, I'm not sure if the Sixers are going to feel like they won that trade in a couple of years if Holiday can stay healthy and Noel doesn't continue to progress.
Well, they feel like they won that trade because they got rid of all their money and all the contracts because they wanted to tank. But, you know, I think the Pelicans are very underrated. And Drew Holiday is fantastic. And the other kid, I'll tell you, that kid, freaking Tyreek Evans, last year he was hurt. He was very disappointed, and now he's come back like a banshee. And that's a beautiful thing to see for them. Now, this week coming up, the Cavs, let's see what they have. They have on Monday night tonight, they play Charlotte. Then they have Atlanta, then Brooklyn. And the big one is Sunday against Memphis. That ought to be interesting to see how the Cavaliers match up against the grit and grind Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be a fantastic matchup. I mean, right now, Marc Gasol is probably the best center in the game, at least in terms of being a two-way player. He's just phenomenal. His passing, his rebounding, his defense, his scoring. He's got the mid-range jumper now as well. Tony Allen's a tremendous defender, always plays LeBron tough. It's going to be – oh, and – can't forget Mike Conley. I mean, Mike Conley might be one of the most underrated players in the game and one of the best bargain contracts in the league. So seeing him and Kyrie Irving go head-to-head is going to be – that's going to be exciting. But, you know, you got three Eastern Conference teams that if you can beat Charlotte, Atlanta, and Brooklyn, that's really going to help you in the standings. And this last week they had four games in five nights. They won 500 over that stretch, beat both Eastern Conference teams. While it would have been nice to see them get a win in on the West Coast, unfortunately, it didn't break down that way, but you got to capitalize when you can.
You're absolutely correct. Atlanta's playing very good basketball right now. They've won eight or nine straight. They're playing phenomenally. And then Brooklyn is – and Charlotte, too. I don't know what happened to Charlotte, but there's a couple things, though. Deion Waiters is out, and we have Kyrie got banged up, and he didn't look right last night either. So, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What do you do without those two? What do you do without Waiters, who played very well during that stretch?
Well, I think at this point, given how Matthew Dellavedova has been playing, I would honestly consider starting him at shooting guard, moving Sean Marion to the bench. We had an article up on Fear the Sword about starting Tristan Thompson and how much better the Cavs are offensively and defensively when Tristan Thompson plays as opposed to Varejao. So if you move Marion and Varejao to the bench, that's going to give you a little bit more scoring life. You also have James Jones there, who's been playing fairly well. So you're going to be able to replicate some of the punch that Waiters has been giving you. Although while he has been playing well offensively, his defense is still among the worst on the team by a considerable margin, especially in transition.
A considerable margin, yes. But you know something, there are some bright spots, and there are some good things to talk about too. And what we have to realize is that everybody says they're a work in progress. They are, and they're going to have – but let me tell you, they are fun to watch when they're clicking. But I don't think it's a matter of that they haven't played much together like some people say. I think the problem is that you've got a couple guys who you're relying on who aren't used to playing quality basketball every single night, or I should say competing every night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the biggest adjustment, right? The games are all going to have meaning moving forward, which is a unique situation for Kyrie Irving, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, Dion Waiters, Matthew Dellavedova. Like, there's a lot of guys, or Varejao hasn't played meaningful basketball in 4 or 5 years. So there's a lot of guys that they're learning to, you know, not take plays off here and there, to get used to taking the other team's best punch. I mean, every time the Cavs go into another arena or someone comes to visit them, you know everybody on that team's going to be jacked up to play them, and they're looking to make a statement. That wasn't the case. I mean, you saw the Cavs beat OKC multiple times before LeBron came back, kind of in that four-year lull there. And that's because they probably didn't take Cleveland as serious, and they were able to capitalize from a good game from Kyrie Irving or something like that. You're getting teams' best punches every single night. So that's something that they got to get used to.
And they better do it quick. They want to be highly seeded, and I think they will. Great stuff today, Justin. Thanks for being on the show with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, that was Justin Rowan. You can find him at fearthesword.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, that's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, we're All Forget, and you're listening to Phil Nason Show.
Father John, I'm in love with your daughter. Oh, the one with the champagne eyes. She knows that I love her. Tells me lies.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. It's fantasy hockey time, and joining me to talk about fantasy hockey and give you great advice. From rotowire.com, please welcome Brian Rutherford to the show. Brian, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing great, Phil. Thanks for having me back.
It's my pleasure. We got a lot of questions, man, a lot of them. Let's get started. A listener wanted to know if he or she should trade Sidney Crosby for Claude Giroux and goalie Jonas Hiller. Would you do it?
Just come right out with a huge big question here.
Of course.
With this kind of deal, you have to remove the obvious logic first. Giroux is no Crosby. I think both the listener and their trade partner know that, and that's why Jonas Hiller is involved here. Giroux is not a point per game type of player over the course of his career. I know that sounds a little surprising, but Sid, of course, is. Of course, Sid is in the media right now, is in the press right now with possible mumps. I don't think that's from what I understand, the test results say negative. That's short term anyway, one way or another. I think what it comes down to is depending on how goalie sick the listener is. The variable is Jonas Hiller. How is he going to play? I can suggest that Jonas Hiller's career numbers suggest he's a slow starter, posting a 2.69 career GAA goals allowed average in the first 3 months of the season, and then a 2.28 in over the next 3 months, January, February, and March. So the numbers are there to suggest it's likely an even deal. Can you endure the loss of Crosby's production, or do you have other wingers that are point-per-game type players? Of course, there are injury risks on either side anytime any owners deal. And again, I think what it comes down to is if you're really goalie strapped, and I myself have been really goalie strapped and goalie sick this season. So I think a lot of people are considering doing things that they probably wouldn't ordinarily consider. But I don't think anyone would shun that listener for dealing Crosby in that circumstance. Just be ready for that type of deal to go in either direction.
Well, exactly. You know what? If you are, like Brian said, goalie sick, then you almost have to take that deal. Claude Giroux is fantastic. There are nights, especially if you can get him on a great daily game where he can score, man. But then there are other nights where he won't do much. And that's one of the prices you have to pay. Crosby could get injured. I mean, there's always a risk with that. You know, he's a high-risk, high-reward type guy.
When got a big old X on his back.
He certainly does, you know. So me, if I need a goalie, I'm probably going to go to the waiver wire, and I am probably going to keep Sidney Crosby.
It's definitely a risk one way or another.
It sure is, but you're right. But you could take it and still flourish, because Giroux can do some things. He's not going to do what Crosby does, but then he doesn't have to, because you've got Hiller, who is, like Brian said, a slow starter, who should be coming around. Thanks for the question. We hope we helped you there. Now, here we go. We got another one here. This one's a good one. A listener wanted to know if he or she should trade Pavel Datsyuk high. Do you trade Pavel high?
Wow, man. These are tough questions. I answer a question with a question. Should an owner trade Ryan Callahan? We talked about this a couple weeks back, Phil. Pavel Datsyuk is the Rob Gronkowski of the NHL. Owning him means watching your soaps on a day-to-day basis, you know, literally having the Red Wings beat writers in your Twitter feed. I mean, you're constantly worried about whether he's pulled some groin or taken a hack to the wrist. Bottom line, this guy will always sell high. Question is whether you can get rid of him before he tears or breaks something really serious. Again, great question, because December is typically Datsyuk's best career month, without a doubt. From here, he's likely to still manage a point per game, and the Wings are looking solid. And they're looking to even get better, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But that said, he's definitely injury prone. I'm skeptical of how he'll hold up as the season grows older. In the past couple of seasons, we've seen him miss time in January and February. Bottom line, though, I would make sure to get a nice haul before dealing him.
Oh, yeah, I would, too. Usually I don't try to acquire guys like him, because they're just too much time management.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole thing. You want to have fun when you play fantasy sports, any fantasy sport. And Pavel Datsyuk is fantastic, okay? He scores. He's a rugged guy. He hits. He plays hard.
He's on the ice.
There you go. But see, that's the problem, and you have to watch every single day. It's almost – he's also a great value at FanDuel and different sites like that.
Yes.
But again, the problem is you're going to have to sit on that Twitter wire till the last possible second, and you better have a backup plan because you just never know. Me, yep. If I had him on my roster, which I wouldn't, only for those reasons, I would trade him and I would get something for him now before he causes me more agita and more grief.
But agreed.
He's just a pain in the neck. He's a great player, yeah. though. He's
high maintenance.
High maintenance. It's like having a wife who spends more than you make. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Okay, but we hope we answered your question. Yeah, if you keep him, I mean, he's going to score for you when he's on the ice. And that's just it, when he's on the ice. Okay, great question. Now we've got one more listener question, Brian. This one's a pretty interesting one. I'm still kind of debating it. But this listener wanted to know if he or she should trade Darcy Kuemper while he still has value or hang on to him.
It's hard to let go of a guy who went 10-2-2 in January and February a year ago. Is anyone really sold on Kuemper yet, though? Not with that triple-headed monster of a goalie situation in Minnesota. I think they need to move someone. Despite Harding's long-term ailment, I think his presence, his potential, is possibly overshadowing Kemper's talent. I'm not sure you're going to get the value you're looking for right now in moving Kuemper. And last season's rise suggests he could become one of the more dominant goalies in the second half, save for a poor March. So the direct answer to that is no. I like his numbers last year. It looks like he really turned it up a notch after the first of the year. I think maybe he does it again.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I'll tell you what, he played really good against San Jose the other night and got a loss. And that's the other drawback there is you're going to get some losses with him, even though he's playing great. And what Brian said is absolutely correct. This guy plays really well in the middle of the season, usually. And he's healthy, by the way. And it is a merry-go-round in Minnesota. But I think Kemper's going to end up being the top guy over there. And if he is, you look silly for trading away or getting rid of or even waiving in some instances. Some people, he's down to 68% owned. In ESPN leagues, I mean, it's
not in my league.
Now I don't know. This is just over. This is just overall. I don't know what he's doing in mine. But the thing is this, because I have King Henry, so I don't worry about these things. but I homered that one up. But he's got a 2.45 goals against average. He saves 90% of the pucks. I mean, what can you ask for? He's won 11 games. He's done well.
Go ahead and look at the numbers from last year. He really kicked things up a notch after the first. And I think you're going to see that again.
And here's the other thing. Another thing that you can do, too, is when you have these doubts, besides asking us, of course, because we love to answer your questions. But the deal is this. Take a look at what's on your waiver wire. If what you have is better than what's on the waiver wire, there's a very good chance you're not going to do much better in a trade. So hang on to him if you can. If you can find somebody better off the waiver wire, look at Pavlich from Winnipeg. He's up 45% owned now. He's having a tough time up there in Winnipeg, but he's probably somebody you could pick up to stop the nosebleed. But to get
Hutchinson's stealing starts from him.
Hutchinson's having a great year too.
Yeah, he is.
There's your guy to pick up out there. If you could pick up Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And forget about both these guys.
If he's available.
If he's available, exactly.
That train may have already left the station.
I think that train may have too. But then again, you know, the funny thing is as quickly as it left, another one could arrive. And this could, you know something? Pavlich is no slouch. Winnipeg may trade him. You never know. Look at Mike Smith from Arizona. He's down at 32.9% owned in ESPN leagues. What happened to Mike Smith?
Mike Smith is just falling apart, man.
He's falling.
I mean, I never foreseen Devin Dubnyk unseating Mike Smith. I mean, that's just it seemed like a procedural thing for them to sign Dubnyk. Neither one of them want to take the job hands on, but that's just an ugly situation there in Arizona.
Yes, it is. But one thing that wasn't ugly is this segment of this show. Thanks a lot for being here, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
All right. That was Brian Rutherford. You can find him over at rotowire.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's show. I want to thank all my guests for making this a lot of fun today. A great way to start off our week. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.